Psalm 127 reads, "Children are a heritage from the Lord. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." Hi, I'm Rob West. God's word also tells believers to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But it seems that economics is making that ever more difficult. I'll talk about it with Chad Clark today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest today, Chad Clark, leads the team here as executive director of MoneyWise Media. He's also a keen observer of financial trends. So he's going to join us today to talk about the rising cost of raising a child. Chad, great to have you back on the program.
Happy to be here.
Chad, today's topic obviously hits close to home for you and for me. The West family, we have four kids. Our twin girls are 13, all the way up to my senior in high school, Colby, who's 17. And I know you have two boys, 4 and 6. So this is a pretty important topic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to getting some parenting wisdom from you today.
Well, we should have had Julie on the program for that, but that's okay. I'll try to do my best. Well, you've come across some interesting statistics about what it costs to be a parent these days, perhaps more expensive than ever. Fill us in.
Yeah, so according to the Brookings Institute, a married couple with two children will spend upwards of $310,000 to raise both children through age 17. That's through high school.
Wow.
So seems like you're pretty close to getting the first one out of there and off the books, right?
I don't know about off the books, because it's only just beginning when he goes off to school, although he is a pretty good student.
There you go. Yeah, so through age 17, what that comes out to is about $18,000 a year to raise these two children. And again, this is based on some data from children that are born in 2015 through age 17.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, so that's perhaps for some of our listeners a little staggering. Maybe they're thinking about their budgets and needing to reorient some things. Where do you think these numbers are coming from?
Well, these numbers come from the USDA, and they're based on an inflation-adjusted calculation based on 2017 numbers, so pre-pandemic numbers that have been inflation-adjusted to show what it would cost in today's dollars to raise a child. These costs range from everything from housing to food, clothing, health care, child care. If you've got young ones, diapers are a huge expense. Thankfully, we're beyond that in our household, but diapers are a big expense. Haircuts, sporting equipment, activities, dance lessons. I mean, you can go on and on and on about the costs to raise a child, and that's basically what they're factoring into this $18,000 a year figure.
Interesting. Now, I know in the Clark household, JL does all the haircuts, right? So you don't have that expense.
Oh, absolutely. It saves us a lot of money, which is why when you see me come in the office and I'm missing a chunk of hair, we had a little bit of a scuffle while we were doing that.
Now, one thing I didn't see on this list that here in North Atlanta is the budget buster of all, and that is travel sports. It just boggles my mind what people spend on their kids' sporting events and teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Activities are a huge expense, and depending on what your kids are looking to do, and you want to see them, you know, be successful and invest in them, and it can be a substantial investment on the part of the parents.
Yeah, often it's not just getting on that travel team, but then you've got the private coach, you know, on the off days that's training your child. And by the way, most of them are not going to play professional sports. I mean, maybe the Clark kids are the exception, I guess.
Well, I'm just hoping I don't have to pay for college. So if they can get a college scholarship for sports or academics, we'd be extremely grateful.
That's certainly my plan. All right. Do you think this trend is going to continue in terms of these elevated costs?
Well, personally speaking, I think I'm not expecting my boys to get any cheaper over time. In the short term, inflation is going to continue to play a substantial role. Food prices, obviously, are a big one. That's one our household has really felt the most. At-home food prices, which are the grocery store costs, are up 13.1% July 2022 versus the previous July. 13.1%. it's a big number. And our boys are eating quite a bit as they get older, so we're really feeling the pressure in that area. So I think as inflation continues to put pressure on us, we're going to continue to see this cost increase over time.
I know food is a killer in our house. We go through a gallon of milk probably every 2 days, and with two teenage boys, food is always scarce around our home. All right, when we come back, more with Chad Clark. What are some ways you can manage the costs of raising your kids? And are there tools to help with that? Well, we'll share that and much more. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. If you're wondering why we have so many godless politicians today, politicians are a mirror image of the people who elect them, and those of us who are electing them are mostly godless. And that's because most Christians don't vote. God forgive us. We're living in the freest country in the world that God birthed to spread the gospel, and Christians are allowing to be turned into a godless country by refusing to vote. For Christians, voting is more than a right, it's an obligation, and God will hold us accountable for protecting the country that provides most of the resources and manpower to evangelize the world. That's why Satan is waging his all-out attack on America, doing everything he can to destroy all respect for our country and our godly founders who put their lives on the line to make us free. God bless America. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Joining me today in this segment of the broadcast, Chad Clark, Executive Director here at MoneyWise Media. He leads our team as we serve God's people to help them be wise stewards of the money God has entrusted to them. And today we're talking about the cost of raising a child. Chad said some data he recently saw that indicated a married couple with two children will spend upwards of $310,000 to raise both children through age 17. And with inflation running rampant, it's important that we think about how to do that wisely, to both educate our kids about money management from God's heart, but also to manage our spending and our costs so we can live within God's provision. Chad, what are some things you all have found as you and JL have worked to manage expenses, and particularly related to having two kids?
Yeah, there's really four things I think that we've found help us manage these expenses for our children. The first one no surprise to you, is going to be have a spending plan. This has been so substantial in the Clark household. When JL and I first got married, we didn't have a spending plan. I've got a background in finance. I went to school for it. I had my Excel spreadsheet, but I didn't really have a spending plan. And we definitely was not a plan that JL and I talked about or reviewed or really planned out together. And so having a spending plan, I think, is just absolutely critical. And then when you introduce children into the equation, there's a lot of variables that come into play having children, like we talked about before, just the activities and school and everything that goes along with children is just requires some additional planning. And if you have a spending plan, you can mitigate some of the anxiety and the unknowns that may come up financially by just sitting down, putting together a spending plan and being really intentional. I think that's the key word when it comes to a spending plan is intentionality, being intentional about how you're going to use the resources God has given you to raise up your family and to glorify Him with what He's given you.
Yeah, obviously a spending plan is so key because it allows you to give every dollar a name and manage your monthly expenses. But it's also key, Chad, as you know, to make sure that you have margin, because if you're living within your means, that margin is then the ability to think longer term, right? About everything from putting money aside to fund that education that you'll want your kids to have, perhaps in some cases, private school, recognizing there's going to be weddings and cars that are needed down the road. Without a spending plan, really difficult to save for those items.
Yeah. I mean, the spending plan, again, it's not just short term, like you said, it's long term. It's planning and setting some money aside for those future expenditures. And you got two girls, so I know that those wedding expenses you're already saving up for, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're twins, so I'm just hoping maybe double wedding here.
Oh, that's
something.
A good idea.
I'm not sure they're going to go for that, but I'm at least.
You can always hope.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Wishful thinking there. So yeah, having a spending plan is absolutely critical. And obviously one of the tools that my wife and I use is the MoneyWise app.
Yeah.
It's been a really useful tool for us. We are in it every single day, adjusting our plan, talking about it, and really just reviewing how we're performing. So having a spending plan is important. And what we do in the MoneyWise app is we have a single envelope or category for both of our children. And we just put some money aside in that envelope each month, and then we spend from it. But we've talked with other families, and they like having itemized records for each of their children. So they'll create a group for one of their children and then break out the clothes for that child and the activities for the child. The great thing is that the MoneyWise app will allow you to either do it at a high level, like my wife and I do, where we just have a single envelope where we manage both of our children, or go into really detailed envelope categories to actually manage those expenses for your children.
Yeah, and that's really key because it gives you the visibility into those expenditures across the board, but specifically related to today's topic for your kids. And then allows you to see when you're out of money. And so perhaps you delay certain things to the next month because you know what's going on.
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. It helps you make better decisions. That's ultimately what the spending plan is there to do.
All right, so we want to have a spending plan. And the second thing is to track your expenditures. And that's where the MoneyWise app can be helpful in both areas. What's the third thing that you and JL have found to be helpful?
Yeah, I think that the communication is so critical. And having a spending plan and tracking our expenses to that spending plan. I want to touch on that one just real quick here. The tracking sometimes gets overlooked. So we have a spending plan. We have it on an Excel spreadsheet. We have it on a sheet of paper. But if we're not regularly tracking those expenditures, we don't know how we're actually performing relative to the plan. And that's where communicating with our spouse really the rubber meets the road, because we're looking at our expenditures relative to the plan. And when you're communicating with your spouse about how you're doing and how you need to make adjustments, it makes a world of difference in being able to really be a good steward of the resources God has entrusted to you.
Yeah. Well, that communication is obviously so critical. Our friend Shanti Feldhahn found that when 70% of married couples have conflict over money, the two big things that help to alleviate that, one is having margin in your finances, but the second is communication. You've got to be talking, and especially when things get a bit more complicated and when you add kids into the mix, they certainly do. Having that check-in, whether that's weekly or certainly monthly, can really go a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Communicating with your spouse. And again, using a tool, we recommend the MoneyWise app is a great way. You can have it on both of your devices and you can check in on it periodically and then come together and have some discussions. Again, for my wife and I personally, it's been a tremendous blessing to have this tool to help us communicate better about money.
All right. So have a spending plan, track your expenditures, communicate with your spouse. And what's number four?
The last one. This is a big one. It's communicate with your children. Uh-oh. What an amazing opportunity for us to teach our kids how to be good stewards. One, they see how we are handling money, but sometimes we don't want to involve them in those communications, right? We don't want them involved or necessarily being aware of the financial state that we're in. But I think it's important to involve your children in the communication process. Now, I'm speaking from a dad who has a 4 and a 6-year-old, so a little bit different life stage for my children. But when they ask for something or they have a desire to purchase something, we bring them into that conversation. We let them know, hey, this is what this costs and this is what we have set aside. And our kids get a little bit of an allowance. And so we really try to encourage them to use their resources for some of those different things that they want to purchase. But communicating with your children about money is really important. Not just telling them, no, you can't do that or you can't have that, but really helping them understand why and what it means to be a good steward, where you have to make these trade-off decisions is really important.
Well, it's so key. You know, even if it's something as simple as teaching give, save, spend, or just beginning to introduce this idea that God owns it all and that resources are limited and that hard work is a part of God's plan. You know, we can teach those big concepts at the earliest of ages, but then as they get older, we can allow them to move into more difficult things. You know, I think I've shared with you, Chad, there was one point where we turned our eating out portion of the budget over to our kids for a month. And we let them sit around the table in the kitchen, and it was hilarious just to watch them negotiate where we were going to eat that month. And all right, I'll give up, lunch out after church if we can do pizza Friday night. And, you know, it was really fun for them to see that, you know, this money just isn't unending. It does have a limit and it can be really helpful. Well, Chad, just about 30 seconds left. Leave us with any final thoughts you have.
Yeah, so like we said, having a spending plan, tracking your expenses, and communication with your spouse and your children is critically important. And we encourage you to check out the MoneyWise app. It's an incredible tool to help you do all of those things really well. We've got MoneyWise coaches who are standing by to help you set up your app. If you're intimidated in setting that up, we'd be delighted to help you.
All right, MoneyWise.org. Just click app or search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store. Chad, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
We'll be right back.
I was an inmate in prison, recently was released, and I wanted to call and tell you guys how much of an impact you've made in my life.
American Family Radio Share-a-thon is October 11th, 12th, and 13th. Some of the most memorable moments of Share-a-thon are when listeners tell us how God has used AFR to change their lives. Call now to share your story. Phone 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial as we apply God's wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. Phone lines are open. Pat Montague standing by to take your calls. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Whether it's your spending plan, where we started today as we tackled the rising cost of raising our kids and the importance of having a spending plan, or maybe it's your long-term savings or your giving plan. Maybe it's your debt reduction plan, or you're thinking about wealth transfer. How much should we leave to the kids versus giving to the ministries that are on our hearts? Maybe it's defining a finish line. How much is enough for your lifestyle for your accumulation long term? Whatever it might be, we'd love to tackle it with you today. Each morning we gather together on this program because we recognize that money issues, well, they're heart issues. You remember Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you could think about it this way. Your heart follows your money. Well, you probably have experienced that. You know, as you give to certain causes, you listen differently. You know, when you give to American Family Radio, which you'll have the opportunity to do during our Share-a-thon here in several weeks, well, you'll tune in differently to American Family Radio because you'll know you're invested there. You're having a part in what God is doing as lives are being changed through this radio broadcast and all the programming here at AFR. Well, that's what happens anytime your money not only is given away, but wherever you allocate it, even your spending is where your heart is. The question is, are we happy with how we're handling God's money? Is it aligned appropriately with what's most important to us? And if not, what changes do we need to make? That's why we spend an hour every day unpacking God's principles as it relates to our finances, not so we can just build bigger barns, but so we can be more aligned with the heart of God, which is evident throughout Scripture as it relates to money and possessions, not allowing money to dethrone God from His rightful places in first position in our lives. You remember when He shared the parable of the sower, and then He explained to the disciples there in Mark 4 what was happening when the seeds were choked out from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return, and He said it was the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. You know, the things that money can buy can often derail us from God's best. Well, we don't want that. We want to be faithful stewards, seeing money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And when we put it in its rightful place, well, it becomes a powerful tool in our lives to drive toward what God has for us. But we've got to change how we think about money, and that means we've got to start with the idea that God owns it all. Now, as we deal with the day-to-day financial decisions, and there are many of them, as we just navigate our fixed and discretionary expenses, and we try to save for the future, and we try to honor the Lord with our giving, there are lots of questions that come up in the form of IRAs and I-bonds and 401ks and tax returns and inflation. All of these things are kind of competing for our attention and priorities. Well, we want to kind of
cut through the noise, if you will, and bring God's wisdom to bear as we deal with each of those, because the Bible has a lot to say about this topic. More than half the parables, 2,300 verses dealing with the subject of money and possessions. And I believe the reason is because this area of money can be the chief competitor to lordship, at least in my experience. And here's one other thing that I've experienced over the years is that our financial journey is one of the key ways that God shapes our spiritual journey, because it's how we work out what we value and where we've placed our trust. So together, let's tackle your questions today as we apply God's wisdom. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. That's 800-525-7000. We're going to begin today in Ohio. Bill, you're first on the program, sir. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm recently self-employed, and I'm going to set up a SEP. And I don't know which to set up, a Roth SEP or a traditional. I don't know what would be the advantages of one over the other.
Yeah. So you're self-employed. Is that right, Bill?
Right.
Okay. And tell me.
And I'm 60, and I'm only going to contribute 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Very good. You said you're 60 years old. Do you have other types of retirement accounts currently?
Yeah, I've worked for employers, so I have a retirement and I have a 401k.
Okay, all right. There is not a Roth, a SEP Roth IRA. So there's a Roth IRA, which over the age of 50 this year, you'd be able to put in 7,000. And then there's a SEP IRA, which acts like a traditional IRA in the sense that you put in the money, you get the tax deduction when it goes in, and then you have the ability to take that out in retirement and you'll pay tax on the money as it's coming out as income. But there is not, like with a 401k, there's both a traditional and a Roth version of the 401k. That's not the case with the SEP IRA. So in this case, what you would have to do, and I like the SEP for somebody who is in a self-employed situation, because it's going to allow you to put away far more than you would in either a traditional or a Roth. The contribution limit for a SEP is 25% of your earnings from self-employment, not including contributions for yourself, and that's up to $61,000 for this year. And then you could put in an additional $7,000 into a Roth. But you're not going to have the ability to do a Roth SEP. You would have to convert it to a Roth down the road. But I think that's a great option for you, just to sock away as much as you can, Bill, between now and retirement, so you can have something that you can use to supplement Social Security. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, so a SEP doesn't have an either or. It's only a traditional.
That's correct. Yes, there's only one flavor, if you will, of SEP IRA, and that's traditional, which is not like the individual retirement account or the 401k, which has a Roth version. That doesn't apply to a SEP.
And then if I put over 25% there, and then and I want to go into an IRA at my age, which would you recommend, a Roth or a traditional?
Yeah, I kind of like having both options. So I would probably go with the Roth. And that way, if you don't need the money, you could let it continue to grow past your required minimum distribution, or you wouldn't have to take a required minimum. So I think because you're going to do the majority of your savings in the SEP, I'd choose the Roth. Thanks for your call, Bill. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Listen to the French accent that she puts on when talking to these guys.
We campaign with the plan.
The plan. Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States.
Quitte your fuel. Just doing a French accent.
Does your dog bite?
The plane.
That too.
All right, that's enough Kamala Harris reporting.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost-sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical, biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you along with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. We'd love to hear from you today. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We can get you on quickly. We'll even allow you to call anonymously if you'd prefer. That's 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, you know, we started today by talking about the rising costs of raising our kids. And kids are a blessing from the Lord, but we need to be well prepared to take care of the expenses related to our kids. And that can be a challenge, whether it's related to school, health care, child care, the grocery budget, even longer term needs such as insurance and college. You know, having a tool to help you project, save, and manage those expenses is really important. One way that we mentioned earlier in the program is with the MoneyWise app, where you can manage your budget, set goals, set aside amounts for future expenses, pay your bills, plus have biblical financial advice at your fingertips. And it's available on both desktop and mobile. So if you'd like to check it out, go to moneywise.org and click the app tab for more details about the MoneyWise app. That's moneywise.org. Just click the app tab. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000 to Louisiana. Marie, thank you for calling and for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for for answering my call.
Sure.
So I listen every morning, but I am soon to receive an inheritance from my beautiful grandmother of the amount of $10,000.
Okay.
And by listening to your show each morning, I'm curious to know, would it be worthwhile to invest into an I bond, being that I don't need to touch these funds?
Yeah, it certainly could be, Maria. I like I bonds a lot right now. Let me just ask a couple of quick questions, though. Would you give me just kind of an overview of your financial situation? In particular, do you have what I call an emergency savings account that you probably hear me talking about regularly? And then what about debt?
Sure. So we do have an emergency fund, probably about 4 to 6 months.
Nice.
We do not have, by the grace of God, do not have any debts other than my mortgage. And currently we had to purchase, due to storm damage last year, we're living in an RV, but we owe maybe about $8,000 on that. So other than that, we don't have any debt.
Okay, very good. And then the time horizon on this money, Marie, do you have a specific purpose in mind for it, or is it something you just want to sock away for the future?
Just want to want to be wise with it and put away for the future. I do have a Roth IRA that I have not contributed to in about 3 years, but it is vested. And my husband and I have talked about, you know, allocating some monthly, you know, money towards that. But other than that, no.
Okay. And what is your age, you and your husband?
I'm 38. He is 41.
Okay. And so do you all have retirement accounts available through either of your jobs?
He does. He has a 401k
okay.
that he and his employer contribute to each okay. month. I do not, other than the Roth IRA that I have.
Okay. Very good. And then do you know what percent of the total percent that's going into his 401k each month?
I do not, but okay. if I had to give you an estimate, it's probably anywhere from like 4 to 6%, including okay. himself and the employer.
Okay, got it. All right. Well, yeah, I like the I-bond a lot. I mean, I love the fact that you all are almost entirely out of debt. Once you pay off the RV, you've got 4 to 6 months in the emergency fund. That's all really strong. If you're limiting your expenses and living within your means, have some margin every month. I think that's really key, being faithful in your giving as the Lord leads you. In terms of how to allocate this $10,000, which, by the way, what a blessing from your grandmother that you're receiving this. Even though I love the I-bonds, which, you know, are paying 9.6% based on today's inflation reading, which we expected to tick down, showing that we had reached the peak, it actually was ticking up, which has, you know, has the market selling off today and down nearly, well, more than 800 points on the Dow. We'll talk about that in a moment. That means inflation's not going anywhere, despite the Fed's clear directive that they're going to, you know, do everything possible to get inflation under control, which means we're going to see considerably higher interest rates from here. So the I-bond is very attractive right now, and you could put in $10,000 per person for the calendar year, which would match what you're receiving. And, you know, it's going to get 9.62%. It's going to reset again in November. But just based on even today's reading, with inflation continuing to, you know, stay around here for a while, you're going to get a very attractive rate for at least the next year. I would say probably the next year or two. And you've got to leave that in there for at least a year. The only reason, though, that I'm not saying absolutely that's the way to go is it for me, even though you guys are young and you've got plenty of time on your side, I kind of like the idea of you all thinking longer term, because I'd love for your husband to have that 401k contribution up near the 10% mark with his contribution plus his employer. And I'd love to see you doing the same, whether that's through a plan at work at some point or just at least fully funding that Roth IRA every year, you know, with $6,000. So I think perhaps what I might suggest is for you to put $6,000 into your Roth for this year, and then put the balance in the I-bond. Now, if you could do that through margin, through extra, you know, that you have left over at the end of the month, because, you know, you're limiting your lifestyle and you've got, you know, a bit left over between now and when you file your 2022 tax return, which could be as late as next April. If you can get that full $6,000 into the Roth IRA just out of surplus, then I would say, great, then perhaps go ahead and take advantage of the I-bond. But if not, if money's a little tight, kind of living more paycheck to paycheck, then I would say this inheritance is a gift that, you know, I think would be great to use to fund that Roth, because the power of this Roth invested now at these, you know, lower levels with the market having sold off this year. If you kind of play that out 30 years from now, man, what your grandmother left you would be a huge blessing down the road that you could pull out tax-free with all of that compounded growth. Whereas the I-bonds are pretty attractive today, but a couple of years down the road, I suspect they're going to revert back to the mean, which is more like a 2%, you know, annual return. And at that point, you'd be thinking about something else to do with it, but the market would have likely recovered by then. Does that all make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
So I think I would opt for the Roth first, unless you can do it out of current cash flow. But even then, I think getting it in sooner rather than later so you can get it invested at these levels, I think is pretty important. So hopefully that's helpful to you. We appreciate so much. Awesome.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. We appreciate you listening and calling. Let's see. We've got some great questions lined up here. 800-525-7000. We're going to have to hit a break in just a moment. So Charles and Cliff and Monty, I'm going to ask you to stay right there, and we'll come to you right after this next break. Quickly, and this one came by email from Tom, which, by the way, if you have a question for us that you'd like read on the air, you have the option to send us an email, questions@moneywise.org. Tom writes, what is a qualified charitable distribution? I've heard you talk about them regularly. I'm interested as a retiree. And basically, a qualified charitable contribution or distribution, Tom, is where you would take an otherwise taxable distribution from an IRA, and then you give it directly to a ministry or charity. What that does is it's going to allow you to satisfy your required minimum distribution if you're over the age of 72. You don't add anything to your taxable income for the year, and the ministry gets the full amount. Plus, you can even replace giving you would have otherwise done with cash with the qualified charitable distribution. It's a great tool. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. I'll never forgive her. Never, the man told a friend of mine. It was an unexpected conversation. He had worked in the same office complex, but suddenly he was telling my friend how his sister had embezzled money from his company and gotten away with it. The unforgiveness in his own heart was eating away at him like poison. But the truth is, withholding forgiveness is something we're all tempted to do. It hurts the other person, yes, but it hurts us too. What a contrast Jesus gives when Peter asks if he should forgive up to 7 times. And Jesus responded, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. My point, your forgiveness of others will never exceed what God has forgiven you in Christ. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today. We'll head right back to the phones in just a moment. But first, it's a great day because as the market sells off today in light of the inflation data that literally just came out this morning, we have our good friend Bob Dahl stopping by today. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. And Bob, I hope you have your seatbelt on today.
And my shoulder harness, Rob.
That's probably a good idea. So red across the board. I guess the market was expecting that inflation would tick down. It went the other direction.
Yes, we've had, as you know, 4 strong days in a row, and now if we didn't know, the reason it went up is investors were saying, I can breathe more easily because inflation is coming off the problematic levels, and the numbers today did not support that assertion. They weren't, in all honesty, horrible compared to the numbers we've seen earlier in this year, but relative to expectations that we were going to have flattish core inflation, flattish headline and modestly higher core, this was a disappointment. And so the gains that we saw in the last few days have evaporated, and we've actually not even retraced all that, Rob, but it's pretty red out there today.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. Bob, I guess one of the things that was surprising was we've seen quite a bit of downside in gasoline prices and oil prices, and we're still ticking up despite that. What does that tell you?
It tells you, obviously, that other parts of the economy are still experiencing inflation. Food still an issue. Rent and everything related to housing still an issue. And lots of other things that you were expected to be flat were up just a little bit. So, look, I would still say that inflation peaked in the second quarter, even with these numbers. We're off that peak, and it will fall, but importantly, irregularly, Rob. And this is just a bump in the road. No one month makes a trend. And last month was a little better than expected. This one's a little worse than expected. We're going to bounce around, but my guess is by the end of the year, inflation will be running at a rate that's lower than what we experienced in the first half of the year.
Yeah, very good. Bob, what about oil and then gasoline prices over the balance of this year? Do you think we're going to stay at these levels with the economy softening, or do you think we'll head back higher?
I think there's probably some more downside to come, and we're down a bunch from the just over $5 a gallon peak for the country as a whole into the high threes. And we could move down another 50 cents on the weakness in the economy. I hesitate a little bit because we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Russia and their willingness to supply fuel to, in particular, Europe. Of course, oil is a global commodity. So we may have higher prices again as the weather turns cold here in a few months.
Yeah, very good. Obviously, the economies of the world all faltering at the same time. Are the U.S. and Europe and China in worse shape than we are?
Yes, they are, Rob. Nobody's declared a recession for sure, but those two places look like headed more toward recession than we are. Not that we're growing in clear blue skies, the monetary tightening, the inflation that is causing the monetary tightening is hurtful to the U.S. economy. Europe is dealing with the energy crisis that we referenced a second ago. And China's problems are largely self-imposed. They're related to COVID and a desire to have a zero COVID policy. And that's kind of batten down the hatches for that economy. So the economies of the world are clearly slowing.
Yeah, very good. Bob, as we think about where the market heads from here, I guess the trading range that you've been talking to us about for weeks, kind of a yo-yo, but really sideways in nature, is probably the what's to be expected. Is that right?
That's my best guess, Rob. I know that's not very satisfactory. Is it going to go up or going to go down? The answer is yes. It's going to do both, depending on the day of the week. So I think until we resolve some of the issues we've been talking about here, it's going to be choppy in both directions. We'll have smiles on our faces like we did the last 4 days, and today we'll say, oh my goodness, what's going on? And it's just going to bounce around without a whole lot of trend.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Bob, quick final question today. I know Charles is holding from Arkansas. He wants to ask about Biden's executive order on cryptocurrency, basically to explore a central bank digital currency. I don't think I've ever asked you about that. What are your thoughts on that?
So on cryptocurrency, my view is there's far more we don't know than we do know.
Yeah.
I think we can conclude that there is a good technology in the background here. Cryptocurrency, blockchain, there's legitimate technology and will impact how financial transactions are done. But we just don't know how. We don't know who the winners and losers were going to be. We don't know how the government's going to regulate these sorts of things. And so people have made a lot of money and other people have lost a lot of money because it's still speculative. So when my clients' money, I always say, if I can't define it and get my arms around it, Rob, I pass it on to somebody else.
Bob, are you a fan of the U.S. actually having its own digital currency?
Yeah, I think that someday we will get to that point. It's really premature to argue what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
These things take years to develop, as you know, Rob. And lots of back and forth. Somebody's going to win big. We just don't know who yet. Too early to tell. It's speculative.
Yeah. Very good. Bob, we always appreciate your comments, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
My privilege. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Back to the phones we go. Charles in Arkansas. Charles, you heard Bob's comments there. What's your specific question related to digital currency?
Well, he answered it somewhat. I have been hearing for some months now about this cryptocurrency from Christian radio stations, and like he says, there's a lot of unknowns. The station that I've been listening to is leery, very leery of this, and my understanding is that if you've got current currency, and if it doesn't matter if you've got a bank account, your money in a bank, or if you've got it in a paper form at home in a lockbox, that once they implement this, that your paper currency is going to be worthless. And so I'm just curious about this and wondering what's a person supposed to do.
Yeah,
if you prefer not to engage in the crypto stuff.
Sure. Well, we're still quite a bit away from anything like that, Charles. I think there's some truth to what you're describing, but I think in some cases, folks have taken it a bit beyond what's on the roadmap, at least today. I mean, basically, the Biden administration has asked the U.S. Treasury to look and the central bank to look at the possibility of a digital currency. They're asking them to research and then report back on what it looks like to potentially create a central bank digital currency, what's known as a CBDC, basically to stay competitive and keep the U.S. dollar as the primary reserve currency of the world. At this point, it's just in a research phase. No decisions have been made to even issue one. It's obviously, as Bob said, an area that is still largely unknown, and there's a lot of work to be done to understand the implications of it. But it will obviously, the fate of digital currency and assets is unknown, and it's something we need to keep a close eye on. But at this point, it's only in a research phase, no decisions made. Obviously, it'll be something we continue to take a look at into the future. And I appreciate you asking the question. God bless you, my friend. To Texas, Cliff, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I did have a question about a purchase, but I just wanted to make a comment first on the cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
You know, things have happened so quickly in this country in areas that we didn't expect, you know, much more quickly. So I do have concerns about, you know, suddenly, you know, an announcement much sooner than we expected, you know, to be made in the area of cryptocurrency. And I feel that have a little trepidation about that. Feel that, you know, once, you know, we have cryptocurrency, the government can track every purchase and they can limit what you can use it for. And it implies a great deal of government control.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my comment about
that. I would agree with you there, Cliff. And I think it's something to keep a close eye on for sure.
Yeah, you know, my question would be along those lines. You know, when you say keep an eye on it, what does that imply? You know, what does that do?
Well, I mean, as these are all policy-related decisions, then, you know, we can only control what we can control, which is what passes through our hands, and we need to be wise as God's people, looking at everything through the lens of Scripture, and we need to show up and vote, and we need to make sure that we're letting our voice be known, whether that's as owners of assets by, you know, voting proxies and showing up at shareholder meetings and voting at the polls when we elect our officials that deal with everything from energy policy to currency policy. And at some point, you know, we could even have a debt crisis on our hands, and we need to be well aware of that. So I think, you know, we can do what we can do. At the end of the day, though, we trust the Lord, who's sovereign over all of it. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, Cliff, but let's do this. I'm going to have you stay on the line, and we'll see if we can tackle your question off the air because you've been waiting patiently. Monty and Tara, sorry we didn't get to your question. We'd love to get you first in line tomorrow for another edition of MoneyWise. We're grateful, folks, that you tuned in today so we can mine the Scriptures and apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Let me say thank you to my team today. Pat Montague handling our phones today. today. Adam Suddeth, our engineer and producer, and Robert Sutherland assisting me today with great research. We're delighted you were here today as well. Thank you for your calls, for your emails, for your kind remarks, and for being an active participant in the MoneyWise community. If we can do anything to serve you, don't hesitate to reach out. And in the meantime, hope you have a great day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.